This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Pakistan, in the midst of an election process that will, we're told, culminate in January with a new government. In the meantime, there is a caretaker government in place, and as always, the Pakistani army has overweighted positions in any geopolitical affairs. For example, recently there are stories that the Pakistani military has blessed the transfer of equipment, particularly ammunition, into the Ukraine conflict in favor of Ukraine. Just stories. So the Pakistani military gets involved in geopolitical matters outside of its writ. So we come to this paragraph from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs responding to the crisis in the Middle East, the attack by Hamas on Israel. This is dated the same day of the attack, the 7th of October. Pakistan has consistently advocated for a two-state solution as the key to enduring peace in the Middle East, with a just, comprehensive, and lasting solution to the Palestinian question, anchored in international law and in line with relevant United Nations and other resolutions. I'll stop there and welcome Arif Rafiq of Globally News, because this remark by the Minister of Foreign Affairs is unobjectionable. It's in line with the opinions of major Western powers as well. However, I understand since then there have been sharp reactions in the public. Arif, a very good evening to you. Since this statement was issued in the early hours of the conflict, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has clarified, has restated. What can you tell me? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Yes, since the Pakistani Foreign Affairs Ministry released that statement on Saturday, they've issued a revision, and they veered back into an emphatically pro-Palestinian posture. And I think that what that reflects is the fact that the initial statement was aimed at striking a balance between, the impact on human lives in both Israel and the Palestinian territories as a resumption of conflict between the two parties. Now, the initial statement by the Pakistani Ministry of Foreign Affairs was aimed at the larger aim, in my view, was not to close the doors to the possibility of normalization between Pakistan and Israel. And that is something that is definitely has been on the cards in recent weeks. And the government in Pakistan, the military-backed government in Pakistan, is actively considering normalizing ties with Israel. It's a country it doesn't recognize. So they're actively considering that if the Saudis move forward with that. And so the initial statement was aimed at keeping that possibility open. But what we've seen is that, the public response, as well as from the major political parties, was quite critical. And so that the government has been forced to kind of backtrack and veer back into the pro-Palestinian orbit. And I think what that shows is that in this broader conflict that's taking place, the prospects for a broader normalization between Israel and Saudi Arabia and many other Muslim majority states is currently on hold.
So the Abraham Accords are not off the table, but they're certainly towards the other side of the table. We go to the army, the major power in Pakistan. Does the army have an opinion, or has it developed an opinion, of either normalization or the unprovoked attack by Hamas? Does the army take positions in those events?
The army has been very keen over the past year or so to push forward the process of normalization with Israel. And so what we've seen in Pakistan is that there are commentators, very well-known commentators, who are known to be aligned with the military, have been promoting the idea of recognizing Israel. And these are individuals who are not just, random talking heads. They're people who, when they speak, people know that they're speaking on behalf of the army. And so what they're trying to do is, introduce this idea into the public space and test the public's response. And so the army sees this as in the national interest of Pakistan, in part because it will fortify their relations with the Gulf Arab states, which, some of which, Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, have already recognized Israel, and Saudi Arabia has moved forward to some degree in that process, but now it's pretty much on hold. And then also it would, help rebuild relations with the United States, which is actively seeking to expand the tent of the Abraham Accords.
Imran Khan, detained, disenfranchised from this election, during his premiership, does he have an opinion of these matters that can be projected upon him now, or is he commented?
He hasn't commented on, you know, the specific events that have happened this past weekend, but he's been a pretty strong supporter of Palestinian statehood and a two-state solution. So he's definitely in the pro-Palestinian camp, and I would say that's pretty much 99% of the Pakistani political class. But at the same time, you know, he was once married to a Jewish woman, and I think when you look at Pakistani society, unfortunately, anti-Semitism and conspiracies about Jews are pretty pervasive. Khan, by virtue of being someone who's a bit more of a cosmopolitan figure, someone who's had Jewish family members, has never resorted to anti-Semitism, which is a common tool in Pakistani politics, despite the fact that the Jewish populace of Pakistan is probably, you know, just a handful of people today. So he's definitely pro-Palestinian, but not anti-Semitic and not, you know, virulently anti-Israel, as most Pakistani politicians are.
Watching India, Narendra Modi's government in Delhi has moved very close, working hand in glove with Israel on security matters, on economic matters, trade matters. Do you anticipate any different direction during this contest?
No. You know, I think the current government in India is a Hindu nationalist government, so it has sort of moved away from the non-aligned policies of the past, which involved support for Palestinian statehood. And it's also, you know, not dependent on the Muslim vote in India. Muslims are around 15% of the Indian population. The BJP has figured out a way to win elections without Muslim votes. So it's not, you know, dependent on the sentiments and catering to the sentiments of Muslims. So the BJP-led government will largely, you know, it will have to play some degree of a balancing act vis-a-vis Israel and the Palestinians. But in the end, it's going to, you know, be pretty emphatic in its support for Israel, but not to the extent that, let's say, Western powers may. So it will still adopt a posture that is somewhat similar to a lot of non-Western countries, but at the same time will, you know, not move away from its strong partnership with Israel.
The election, there is no date, but it's said to be in January. Do you anticipate that a moving story because the army is very much in charge? Does it suit the army to go ahead? These conditions suggest that there'll be a long war in the Middle East.
Yeah, you know, we could see the ripple effects of this war beyond the Middle East into South Asia, perhaps in a covert way. You know, we've had IRGC operatives target Saudi officials in Pakistan over, you know, well in into the past decade or so. And so there's a possibility that there could be destabilization in Pakistan's backyard, but not enough to really justify a delay in the elections. Nonetheless, the army is kind of groping for ways to defer the polls because the former Prime Minister Khan, in, you know, unofficial surveys, comes out on top by far. And so, you know, even though he's behind bars and is not eligible to take part in the elections, his own moth-eaten party would very well take first place in the polls, and that would be a nightmare for the army.
Arif Rafiq of Globally News reporting on South Asia, watching the wars in Europe and in the Middle East. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.